So I want us to pick up on where we have left off these last several weeks as we have been preaching through these occasions, and really what began as one sermon. And this morning I don't know if we'll finish out this thing, or if I may just park in this one portion of Scripture, but I want to be sensitive to the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 19, I think it was, and where they crucified Jesus. The malefactors, one on the left, one on the right, and Jesus in the midst. He's in the midst at the sacrifice 2 weeks ago. And then last week we looked in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus gave him a promise and said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I'm grateful that the Lord is in the midst of the service. And in 25 years, we've never had to have church without him. And it's a good thing, because we cannot have church without him. We can have church without you, and we can have church with you can have church without me, but we cannot have church without the Lord. We cannot do it. And I'm thankful that he's promised us that we don't have to try, that he will be in the midst of us. We come together in his name. And I'm thankful for the number that he said is just where two or three are gathered together. I'm thankful for the notice that the Holy Ghost pays attention to what we are doing, and God in heaven sees and recognizes it. And I'm thankful for the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I'm thankful for that name, that precious name of Jesus, and how he shows up at the church whenever we are here to honor his name. And this morning, I again want us to see an occasion where Jesus is in the midst. And today he's in the midst of the storm. Jesus is in the midst of the storm. And we may go a little farther than that if the Lord will let us. If not, we'll park here. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and do what be pleasing unto him. I will say, while we are here in this moment, before I forget, we'll not have service this evening, as is our custom this week. That first Sunday morning 25 years ago, we had our morning service. We had not prepared for a Sunday school, so we did not have Sunday school. And we had been working literally through around the clock and to get things prepared, and we're not really capable of really putting together an evening service that week. So we had that one service that morning to get things kicked off. And that is our custom today. There is no biblical precedent or anything for that. It's just our custom. It is tradition, but it is not vain tradition. It is to recognize and to remember what the Lord has done for us. And so we hold to that in order to, again, recognize and remember the blessings of the Lord and bringing us safe thus far. And so I hope you'll take the time to, if you need to, take care of things with family or to be with family and all those things. You have that opportunity this afternoon and this evening. And family, of course, could come and be in church with us. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Oftentimes, family disappoints us in that regard, but Jesus shows up. And family will sometimes hurt your feelings when it comes to church stuff. They, you know, have time for everything else, but they don't have time for God. And they have time for everything else, but they don't have time for church. And they'll have time for you just as soon as what you leave church. But if you're at church, they don't want to be there where you are. And that's wicked. It's the devil that causes that. It's sinful. But there's no excuse for it. And it doesn't matter whose family that it is. It's ungodly that people would leave church and God out of their lives. But I'm going to tell you, I recognize that I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I'm not here this morning just because I want to be. I do want to be. But I'm also here this morning because I need to be. I understand that I cannot do it on my own. I need thee every hour, O gracious Lord. And I also understand that somebody says, I can be just as good a Christian and pray just as well in a deer stand as what I can at church. And they might can. I also understand how carnal that I am, and I understand that I don't pray very good even at church sometimes. And I surely missed the mark in the deer stand. And I can do my very best for the Lord, and I'll still fall far short of the glory of God. And I sure don't want to cut any corners that are unnecessary. I need to be here this morning. So do you, and so do those who were not here need to be here and be a part of the meeting. And we're not going to get in a hurry. I know that surprises nobody. But we're not going to get in a hurry this morning on getting out of church. I have nowhere more important than where I am to run to this morning. There's not a golf ball or a deer stand or a lake or a sea-doo or whatever all this stuff is that people do. I don't have any of it. I don't do any of it. There's none of it that's going on today. There's not any yard work or anything else going on anywhere that's as important as what we're doing right now. And so we're not going to get in any hurry this morning. If I wanted to hurry, I'd have gone to work. You know, some of y'all don't understand. I spend all of my days at work. Some of y'all work and just wait. The day is never going to get over with. I'm wondering how in the world I'm going to get it all in the day. It is busy, 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 like a beehive. And I feel like I am in like a hamster in a wheel, just running wide open and getting nowhere all day long. If I wanted to do that, I'd have gone to work this morning instead of coming to church. But I came to church because I need to be here. And I want to be here. And I praise the Lord that I get to be here. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to be at the house of the Lord. I am grateful for the opportunity to be at the house of the Lord. So let's stand if you're able and willing. We'll reverence the reading of the word of the Lord this morning from the gospel according to St. Matthew in chapter 14 is where we'll be reading in your hearing today. Pray for us that we'd be obedient to what the Lord would have us to say in the message. The Bible said in verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." It seems like at that moment that the Lord is separated from his disciples. They are in the ship on the sea, and he's in the mountain at a time of prayer. The Bible said, "And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." It seems like that the disciples on the ship, in the sea, in the midst, are all alone. And Jesus is all alone on the mountaintop. That's what the picture of verses 23 and 24 give us. But verse 25, things change. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And while they were on the sea in their troubles, in the midst, Jesus was there with them in the midst of the storm." Verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea." Now let's don't read across that in too big a hurry. "And when the disciples saw him," I mean, when's the last time you saw somebody walking on the sea? No need in us reading across that in too big a hurry and act like, "Well, gee, they saw Jesus walking on the sea." I mean, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. They saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." That's, they think it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And the reason why they thought they were seeing ghosts is because they thought they were almost into the other world. "We're going to die. Sure as aware, we're already seeing people that's done gone on. We're seeing ghosts and haints, and we're about to all strangle to death and drown. We're going to get killed right here in the middle of the sea." "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." What a request of faith. If it's you, Lord, you can walk on the water. And if it's you, you can give me the power to walk on the water. Now that is a request with great faith. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Don't read that one too fast. None of you's ever walked on the water, have you? I mean, Jesus walked on the water, and now Peter is walking on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's the right response. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. We are picking up where we have left off on this matter of Jesus in the midst. We're going to talk a little while this morning about Jesus in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm, this ship was in the midst. That is, according to verse number 24, but now the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It was in the midst of the sea, saying unto us that it was as far from either shore as what it is possible to get. If they turned around, that storm is great. Let's just turn around and go back where we came from. You realize it was a long ways. Someone said, well, let's just keep going as far as what we can in the future. Don't you realize it's just as far ahead as what it is behind? What if we were to make a left or a right? Don't you realize it's as far to shore, no matter what direction you go in? There's no easy way out of where we are. There's no shortcut to safety. There is no easy path to land. We are in the midst of the sea. It's a long ways to shore. The storm is blowing on every side. We can't see where we're going. We can't understand what to do. We have no good ideas on how to get out of this. We are fighting and toiling and rowing, as another portion of Scripture said about this storm. They were weary and toiling and rowing, fighting the waves and fighting a lost cause. And they thought for sure that they were going to die. They were so certain of their death that they're seeing what they think is ghosts, haints, ones from the other side coming to take their lives away. They were as close to, they think, to the other world as what they are to the other shore. It's in the midst of this place. It's in the midst of the storm. It's in the midst of the sea. It's in the midst of the waves. As a matter of fact, the waves are so high they can't see where they're going. The wind is so strong they cannot tell how to get where they need to be. Experienced sailors, men who have been on the sea before, men who have been in storms before, and yet they don't know what to do. They are at the point of despairing of their own lives. And it's in the midst of that. Matter of fact, the wind and the waves and the storm is so great they can consider nothing else. Right now, they're not thinking about what we're going to do when this thing is over. Right now, they're not thinking about how we're going to praise the Lord, and we're gonna look back on this thing and we'll understand it better in the by and by. None of those things are going through their mind. They're at the place where survival is the only thing that is on the forefront of their minds. We are in the midst of this thing. It's my friend life. It is the way life works. It is the way that it is while we are up between here and home. It is the way that it is while we are between here and eternity. Oh, my friend, many times the waves of life beat against the ship. The winds of life blow contrary to us. The worries of life rise up higher than what we can mount. It seems like that our minds are not on heaven. Our minds are not on Jesus. Our minds are not on prayer. Our minds and our thoughts are not on praising the Lord or getting through this thing and looking back and being grateful. No, our minds are just on survival. How are we going to make it through this moment, this second? The demands of the moment is such. You think you'll never get out of the storm. You look ahead of you and the shore is too far. You look behind you and the shore is too far. To the right and to the left, all it is storm and trouble and waves and water and certain death. It seems as though you are being sucked beneath the waves. It's as if you are in a world
world as if you were in a bowl that is spinning round and round, and you're headed down the drain. And your life and your ship and everything you've worked for, this is their occupation. They've been on the ship many times fishing to make a living. They think financially they're sunk. They think physically they're sunk. They think spiritually they're sunk. Jesus is a long ways off. We're sunk. We're done for. It's all over with. They are ready to give up. There seems to be no hope in sight. Does anybody relate to what I'm preaching about? Do you know what it is for your waves that just seem so high? And did the trouble around you to seem so great? And the shoreline to be so far away? It seems as though you'll never make it to safety. I seem to find myself so often overwhelmed in the moment, overwhelmed with the demands of life, overwhelmed with burdens and troubles and worries. And most of y'all know that I am not a person who is shaken real easily. I'm not a person who is perpetually nervous and scared. I'm not afraid of much of anything, naturally speaking, except for raccoons. And I think everybody ought to be afraid of a raccoon. They're evil. You can see it in their eyes and in little claws and paws they have, and they'll gnaw your arm off. Everybody ought to be afraid of a raccoon if you're in a enclosed place with them. But anything else, I'm not afraid of it, naturally speaking. I mean, I just don't find myself worried about a lot of those things. And some of you know that I am usually not even paying attention enough to get my feelings hurt at whatever goes on around me. How about you think that because of that I never go through those things? But people hurt me sometimes, and my heart is broken sometimes, and the people that I care about the most wound me. It seems like for the last year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years even, that there have been very few weeks that have gone by that the people that I seem to care about the most don't do something that seems to cut me and hurt me. And I find myself looking around at my friend at life and the difficulties of it and the demands of it, and worried about different things. I don't mean to be that way. Forgive me if I'm not supposed to be. But I battle and I struggle and I scuffle, and it seems like my heart is wounded and heavy. And I wonder sometimes when I pray, is God even listening? And it seems like He's a million miles off. But I'm reminded that we're on the sea of life. And that's what it is when you're in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the sea. But what you perceive to be so is not so. You perceive that you're alone and God's not watching. You perceive that you're alone and the Lord is not there. You perceive that you're alone and that nobody cares. You perceive that you're fighting and you're fighting all by yourself. You perceive that you are losing and that there is no hope, but your perception is wrong. There's a Savior praying for you in the storm, and there's one whose eye is always on you. And in the darkest, deepest hour of the night, in the fourth watch of the night, He'll come walking upon the sea. And Jesus is in the midst of our storm. That's who He is and what He does. Hallelujah. When the ship was in the midst, Jesus was too. Jesus came walking to them on the sea. I love the phrase that the Bible says when it says that. The Bible said, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus speaking to them, "It is I. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Jesus came walking to them on the sea. Praise the Lord. He didn't just draw them out of the storm and bring them to safety. He went into the middle of the storm with them. Help my friend endured the storm with them, was present in the storm with them. Help my friend was faithful in the storm with them. The Lord will not just bring you through the storm. Help my friend, He'll get in there with you while you're in the storm, and then bring you through the storm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
The storm may very well be that you are there because that you're in trouble. It might even be that the Lord has put you through the storm. It may be that God has caused you to go through it. It may be the Lord's will for you to be in the storm. It's possible that you're in some storms. Not every storm, but it is possible you are in some storms because that you have disobeyed the Lord and that it is chastening on your life. You realize that when God chastens you, even then He won't leave you alone.
Amen.
Even then He will not forsake you. Even then He'll be there with you and cares about where you are.
Amen.
I'm reminded of reading the story many years ago of that man who had scolded his son and gotten on to him day after day after day after day, many different things, and finally he had enough and he told his boy, he said, tonight you've just gone too far and acted up too much. He said, you're going to have to go to bed without supper. And he said, you're not even going to get to sleep in your own bed. He said, you go to the loft in the attic and sleep on the floor, the plywood floor in the attic, and think about what you've done and how you misbehaved. And he sent the boy to bed, and he went to bed without supper, laid on the floor of that, on the plywood floor of that attic. It was cold and it was dark. And the little fellow, about 7 or 8 years old, was afraid. And he laid there thinking about what he had done, and he cried and wept aloud. And his daddy sat at the table eating when he could hear that boy crying in the attic. And it's about more than he could stand, just breaking his heart. And Mama said, now look, you can't let your soft place in your heart get to you. Don't you go up there and get him out of that attic after you've told him that that's going to be his punishment. If you tell him that and you don't follow through on it, you'll make a mess. You've got to follow through on it. He said, I know, but I can't stand it. I can't stand for him to be up in that attic crying and being hungry and being afraid. She said, you know he's done wrong and you've got to stand by what you've said. He said, I know I do. And finally he just pushed his plate back and he said, I didn't tell him he had to stay up there alone. And he climbed up the steps and laid down in the bed beside him, and both dad and son wept through the night, and they stayed there all night, and both of them went to bed without supper, and both of them slept in the attic. There'll be some times in your life and mine that the Lord will put us through the storm, but He'll not make us survive it alone. He'll be in the midst of the storm with us. He'll not leave us. He'll not forsake us. He'll be with us even in the darkest hours of the night. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, and I've learned to trust my Heavenly Father. I don't always act the way that I should, but I do trust Him and I do believe Him. I'm like Peter, I do take my eyes and see the storm, and sometimes I do get afraid, but I also know where my salvation is. I know who can help me when I'm sinking beneath the storm and the waves. I know where there's help to be found. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about when Gracie was a little girl and she wouldn't sleep in her bed all night, and it aggravated the fire out of me. In the middle of the night, she'd get up and she'd want to talk. And she didn't just want to get up and go and to come get into bed with us, which aggravated me enough. But then whenever she'd want to do that stuff, then she'd lay in the bed and wouldn't go back to sleep. And she wanted to talk. She was only a couple of years old, year and a half, 2 years old, and she would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I'd beg her to please hush and to go to sleep. I tried bribing her. I tried whipping her. I tried everything to just get her to stay in her bed all night. I promised her if she'd sleep in her bed all night long, that she would the next night, next day when I got home from work, I'd take her to Walmart, let her ride the Flintstone car out front, and buy her a stick of Juicy Fruit gum. We went through that day after day after day. One night she laid in the bed and she said that I'd already been to sleep. I'd got her to sleep, then later in her bed, and then she woke up and she was hollering and wanting me to come in there, and I told her, I'm not coming in there and you're not coming in here. If I have to come in there, you're going to get a whipping. If you come in here, you're going to get a whipping. And finally she spoke up and she said, but Daddy, I'm just so thirsty. She said, you don't have to come lay in the bed with me, but could you please bring me a drink of water? I said, no, I've already told you, I thought it's a trick, you know.
know. She's just trying to get me in there, and she knows that then she'll pull on my heartstrings and want me to lay in the bed with her, and I'm not going to break. And she said, if you just bring me a drink of water, I'm so thirsty. And I said, no, Gracie, you go to sleep. Now I'm going to give you a whipping. And you're going to get a whipping, and you're not going to get to ride the Flintstone car or get any juicy fruit gum. So you can make your choice, but if I have to come in there, you're getting a whooping. You come in here, you're getting a whooping. And she's laid there quietly, just a little bit moaning and groaning. And I said, Grace, if you don't be quiet, you're going to get a whooping. She said, but Daddy, I'm so thirsty. And I said, just hush now and go to sleep. She laid there a few minutes longer. And she's whining, and she said, Daddy... She said, Daddy, if you would please, when you come in here to give me a whooping, would you bring me a drink of water? I'm just so thirsty. Oh, my, my. There are days, friend, when it seemed like that the Lord, you know maybe that you're in a storm of your own making. You know that you're in trouble of your own making. And that there are days that the Lord must chasten us. But I'm so thankful when he comes to give us a whooping, he'll give us a drink of water. He'll not leave us unto ourselves. He'll not forsake us. He'll not turn his back on us. He'll be merciful to show up in the midst of our storm. Let me show you just three or four or five things about this portion of scripture this morning, and a few things about those things maybe, and we'll be finished. But let me share these with you this morning about Jesus in the midst of the sea, when the storms are raging and when troubles are coming, when it's overwhelming. Can I tell you this morning, life is overwhelming. In these days, life is overwhelming. In these times, life is overwhelming. In these days, my friend, we've got trouble on every side. And the people who are supposed to be in charge, they don't know their heads from a hole in the ground. I mean, friend, we're in trouble. But in overwhelming times, we have an overruling God. In overwhelming times, we have an overruling God. And though your problems are bigger than you are, they are not bigger than God is. And God is still on his throne, and he's still in charge. And the very waves that wash you under, he walks upon them, friend. And what's over your head is under his feet. He is God and has preeminence and power over all things. Hallelujah. Notice this morning the contrary winds that beat against them. In verse number 24, the Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. The wind blew against every effort of the sailors. They battled, but the wind opposed them. The winds of this world will go against you many days. The harder you battle, the more it seems useless for you to fight. This makes us to begin to look for help. We think that is a negative. We think, my friend, that our efforts failing is bad. But my friend, when you realize you can't, and you begin to look for help, that's when you see Jesus. So long as they thought they could manage the ship in the sea and in the storm, they didn't look for Jesus. But when they got in the midst of the sea and the winds were contrary and they thought they were alone, and that's when they began to look for Jesus. Oh, may we realize this morning that many times our troubles are sent because we have trouble with our sight, and the Lord wants to open our eyes and to Jesus in the midst. Your troubles are not sent to slay you, but they're sent to give you sight that you may see the one who is there by your side every day. Amen. They're sent to put us on our backs, because it's when we're on our backs that we see what's above us. Brother Milby said a hog will snort around up under the same oak tree all day long, eating acorns, and never realize the tree they fell down, have fell off of, until he's flat on his back. And many times we're the same way. We don't see the Lord until we're lying flat on our backs. We don't see the Lord until the storm comes. And my friend, to the winds are contrary. But not only are there are contrary winds in this story, but there are conquering walkers. Conquering walkers in this story. And not a conquering walker. There are conquering walkers. And there's more than one person who walks on the sea in this account. In verse 25, Jesus came walking on the sea. But Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, then bid me to come unto you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter walked on the sea. We all preach about how Peter began to sink and called on Jesus, and that's good preaching ground. And my friend, but it's also important for us to note that both walked on the sea, and that then, my friend, not only did Peter walk on the sea, he fell beneath, he called on Jesus, and then he walked again. Hallelujah. And my friend, your failures do not have to be the end of the story. Your sinking down does not have to be the end of the story. That you can walk again. You can stand again. You can experience God again. God can give you the victory in the midst of the storm. I'm thinking about that song, "Love Lifted Me." I was sinking so deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. You realize Christ didn't just lift you out of the waters because you was drowning, but he lifted you up because he wanted you to walk again. He wanted you to have victory again. He wanted to give you, my friend, the spirit of a conqueror again. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We sang right this morning, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Romans 8:37 said that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors, more than a winner, more than an overcomer. As a matter of fact, that word "more than conquerors," if you trace it back to the Greek underlying words, it means to be a super conqueror. It means to be an uber conqueror, more than just a winner. You have utterly defeated your foe. The Lord has not just called us unto salvation and unto a spirit-filled walk that we might eke by in this old world, that we might just barely make it in by the skin of our teeth into heaven, that we might be able to just barely get by. And my friend, but he's called us unto a life of abundance, unto a life of victory, unto a life of an overcomer. And you can walk on the water this morning. Hallelujah. Conquering walkers. The world looks at you and they see a loser. I don't know if you know that or not. I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble this morning, or burst your bubble. Either one. I don't mean to do either one to it. Matter of fact, I don't want to burst it, bust it, or blow it up. I just want to tell you the fact of the matter. The world looks at you and thinks you're a loser. Hey, you know why? Because you're living for Jesus and they don't understand. They think that the weak-minded, they think that the people without a personal self-confidence are clinging to God and guns. They are bitter and they are upset about how life has turned out. And that's a phrase that one of our former presidents, twice elected, used about you and me. Bitter clingers, clinging to God and guns. I won't say his name, but the fellow that thinks he's the president now part-time, I used to be the vice president for that fellow who said that. That you religious people are bitter and you're clinging to God and guns and you feel defeated and you're a nobody. And that you're losers. Amen. The one that ran for president after him, she called you deplorable. You realize that this world doesn't think much of us. But that's okay. That's all right with me, friend. One of these days, they all will see that we're on the winning side. And that they may not know it, but we're more than conquerors. They may not know it, but we're victorious. They may not know it, but it's not as it seems. We're marching to victory. Hallelujah. They may not know it, but when the trumpet sounds, and my friend, when the battle is over, we're going to wear a crown. I lay my burdens down at the blessed Savior's feet. He'll say, let's look around. There are so many sights to see. You fought the fight and kept the faith. Come on in and settle down. And now the battle's ending. A new life is beginning. You have won your Roman crown. They don't know how the story ends. Oh, but I know this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is alive and well. And we're winning this battle. Amen. In the midst of the storm, it's hard to see that. In the midst of the sea, it's hard to see that. In the midst of the struggle, it's hard to see that. But just because you can't see it does not change the reality of it, friend. It's still so. Hallelujah. 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 I got excited this morning on the way to church. Which I do that a lot. I get excited on the way of just about anywhere if the Lord would come along. And I was on the way to church this morning, and the Henderson ladies were singing. Thank God, two of them's already in heaven. I thought about Miss Robin, how she's faithfully served the Lord. She's the only one of the three left. And the two of them's already in heaven, but all three of them were singing on the recording. And they were singing how that if Christ be not raised, then our faith is vain. But he did. If Christ is not coming back, then our hope is not of any purpose, but he is. If the Bible were not true, then we all would have put our faith in a lost cause, but thank God it is. You see, the world can't see all of that, but praise God, it's true, it's true. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know why Jesus came? He didn't just come so we could have plastic lawn furniture lit up like manger scenes and look pretty on Christmas seasons and ride around and make hot chocolate with marshmallows, or as my granny called them, mushmelons in it. He didn't just, my friends, come so that we could have gifts under the Christmas tree and invite elves and fat boys and smoke pipes into our houses on Christmas Day. But Jesus came so we who are dead in trespasses and sins might be made alive in Christ Jesus. And so I could have a home in heaven. He came that I might have victory over sin, over Satan, over self. And Jesus came that I might be saved. Hallelujah. He didn't come so you'd drown to death in the storms of life. He didn't come so the waves of this world could overcome you and wash you up on the shore and Satan make a mockery of your faith. He came to bring you over. The church is not going under. It is going over. The church is not going to die in the sea. The old ship of Zion is sailing through, and we're going to land safely on the other shore. Oh, praise God. Hear the voice of the captain saying, get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. It'll never pass this way again. And as I step on board, I'll be leaving all my troubles. Woo! And my trials behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain sailing out on the old ship of Zion. And I'll feel like calling recess and sound like a Comanche Indian. I'm glad I'm on my way. We are not going to drown in the storm. And Jesus is on the ship. And we're going to make it safe. Hallelujah. We're going to make it safe. Amen. Woo! Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Conquering walkers. Hallelujah. And when you look at the church, you may see what you don't think amounts to much. But you ain't looking right. Hallelujah. And you don't know what we know. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's a sea walker, a blind man healer, a leper cleansing man from Galilee. Woo! Oh, bless his name forevermore.
Yeah.
Conquering walkers, that's who we are. Oh, friend, hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen. Hallelujah. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that justifieth. Amen. In other words, if God be for you, who can be against you? In other words, if Jesus says you're saved, and if Jesus says you're justified, every devil in hell can't change that. And he will try. He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll rise up even in the judgment, Brother John. He'll rise up and say, I remember what John Gammon did in 1985. Oh, see how sorry and no count it is. But praise God, the Lord will search the record book. Woo! And he'll say, Mr. Devil, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. I'm saying we're conquerors through him that loved us. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Pray. Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. Yes. We are conquerors, friend. Yes. Hallelujah. Makes me happy in the Lord. Yes, praise God. Matter of fact, makes me wonder why everybody is happy. Yes. Hallelujah. I don't know what you think about it, but the Lord stirs in my heart. Makes me aware of who he is and who I am. And what the Lord's done for me gets me so happy, I wonder why everybody's not happy. Hallelujah. I feel like the high prophet Isaiah, when he looked around, he said, why don't they stir themselves? Amen. Praise God. And I think about what the Lord's done for me, how I could be in hell when my neck broke. And here I am saved by the grace of God. I'm born again on the way to heaven. Got a King James Bible in my hand. And the Holy Ghost in the heart. And it makes me wonder why everybody's not happy. Why don't they stir themselves? Matter of fact, makes me want to raise holy hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. And to that crowd that says, now you don't have to do all of that to be saved. They're right, you don't have to. Praise God, but those of us who are saved, we can. Amen. Hallelujah, that's right. We got a license. Jesus gave us a license. I don't know if you know that or not. I've got a license from Jesus in the Bible. I have to do what I'm doing right now. Hallelujah. He said it to him in the book of Luke. He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you in my name, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Do you know I've got a license from Jesus to raise my hands and say hallelujah? My name's in the book of life. I'm on the way home. I'm saved, saved, saved. My sins are washed away. Praise God, the Lamb forevermore. I've got a license to do that. Hallelujah. I've been authorized by the King to act this way, and so it ain't none of nobody else's business. Woo! Hallelujah. That's exactly right, ain't it? Praise God forevermore. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, a woman come to the preacher and she said, sir, said, I've been in this revival meeting all week this week. And she said, I'm a student of the scriptures. And I got to tell you, I've seen some things that I don't really like around here this week. She said, I sure am sorry to hear about that. Said, it seems like it's been a very good week to us. She said, well, there are some things. It's no doubt that you preach a true gospel, but there are some things that I don't much like. She said, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? And as such, you are supposed to be like Christ and to be a Christ follower. He said, yes, ma'am, that's what I seek to do. And she said, well, I don't read anywhere in the Gospels that I can find where Jesus jumped up like some of these people have done here this week and went screaming and running around the church, making circles and laps. She said, I don't read anywhere where Jesus did that. He said, no, ma'am, I don't think I can think of a passage where Jesus ran around the church hollering like that. She said, said, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus stood up, threw his hands up in the air and shouted hallelujah and screamed and hollered and acted the way some of these did around here. He said, no ma'am, I can't think right offhand of any place where he did. And she said, I can't find any place in the Bible where Jesus got on his face and he shouted and cried and wept and bellowed. And I saw people doing that in the altars around here this week. And she said, I don't read where Jesus did that. He said, well, I can't right offhand think of any place either. And she thought, Lord, if she's got me now, what am I going to say? You're going to have to help me. And he said, it came to him, the Holy Ghost helped him. And he said, ma'am, it might not be in the Gospels where Jesus did any of those things, but everybody he touched did do those things. Hallelujah. Praise God, and I've been touched. Amen. And so I say it's all right for me to raise my hands, say hallelujah, run along, shout and praise God. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, it'd be a shame if we didn't do those things. Praise God, we are conquerors. Hallelujah. And he deserves our praise. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. I've been breathing now for 46 years, and I haven't praised him as much as what I ought to. Praise God and the Lamb forevermore, and let him save by his marvelous grace. Hallelujah. Conquering walkers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Contrary winds, conquering walkers. But then I see some concerned witnesses. There's always this crowd. Now, wait a minute. Peter, it's okay for Jesus to do, but I don't know who you think you are. Now, y'all listen, this ain't in the Bible, but it's not contrary to the Bible either. You got to think that there's somebody on that ship that when Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And then the Bible says that Peter climbed down out of the ship. The Bible said when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That is, there was an active effort. He took action to get down out of the ship. They saw him getting out of the ship. Somebody surely came over there to where he was and said, don't you realize our best chance of surviving this thing is to stay with the ship? You can't jump overboard and survive a storm like this. You'll be washed under in 4 seconds. You'll drown. I don't care how good a swimmer you are. We found out in the book of John 21, Peter's a good swimmer, swam all the way to shore. In John 21, Peter was a good fisherman. But you're not good enough for this, Peter. Listen, I've seen you swim. I've seen you use these oars. I've seen you sail. But Peter, I've never seen you step on the water. You can't do what Jesus is doing. But Peter said, if he says I can, then I can. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to Jesus on the water. Didn't you know it's safer without a ship walking with Jesus than it is with a ship sailing away from him? Amen. It's safer to be living in impossibilities than what it is to be taking your chances with the odds. If you don't go with Jesus, you say, well, the likelihood is this path is right. I tell you, friend, listen, you'd be better off to go against the grain, go against the odd, go against everything you know, go against all common sense, go against your instincts, go against everything. If you go with Jesus, then what you would do, my friend, go against Jesus and follow your own instincts and follow your own intellect. I mean, friend, somebody told Peter, there's no need to doing that. You can't do it. You'll drown. And yet he did it anyway. He went overboard and he walked on the water. Your friends and family, if you really follow Jesus, somebody's going to say, no, don't do that. I'm with you now about being religious, but I don't want to go overboard. If you don't go overboard, you won't ever walk on water. If you don't go overboard, you ain't never going to go to Jesus. If you don't take a step of faith, you're going to drown in the ocean. Hallelujah. Oh, you're just going too far. If you've never been told you went overboard, if you've never been told you're taking it too far, if you've never been told you're going a little bit too much, you're way too religious, if you've never been told any of those things, you had never done much for the Lord. If anybody's ever done much for Jesus has been told those things, probably by people who think they love you. Probably by family members, your children, your grandchildren, your wife, your husband, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, your friends. They said, now you've just become a fanatic. You've just gone overboard. Peter went overboard. Matter of fact, he's the only one that went overboard. I got news for you. He's also the only one who walked on water. All those sitting in the comfort of the ship saying, oh, this is the best way. This is the right way. I can be a Christian right here. I can believe Jesus without doing anything just as much as Peter is walking on the water. I can do it here as well as there. None of them walked on the water. All of them sat in a ship and waited to die. The one man who went overboard is the one man who walked on the water, and he didn't just walk on it one time, which is more than everybody else has done. He did it twice. Amen. He went overboard and it paid off.
Amen.
Some of you are concerned about becoming so heavenly minded you'll be of no earthly good, when most all of us are so worldly minded we're of little heavenly good. May the Lord help us. They were afraid. They were concerned. They were concerned for Peter. They were concerned for themselves. They were concerned for the ship. They were concerned for the waves. They even saw Jesus and they got concerned. They said, it's a ghost. It's a spirit. But Jesus said, it is I. Be not afraid. The concerned witnesses. And then there is a comforting word. A comforting word from verse 27. Jesus straightways, that is immediately, right away, without delay, spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Jesus is in the midst.
Amen.
27 times in the Gospels, Jesus says, be not afraid. 27 times. Hallelujah. 63 times, he says, fear not. Did you know that between the two of them, 90 times, the Lord told us to stop being scared and worried? 90 times. And then put them all in the Bible so we could read them over and over again, because some of us need more than 90 reminders. To stop being afraid and stop being worried and stop being scared is a comforting word. And then there's the calming of the wind and waves. Verse 32. When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You realize they didn't understand it, didn't believe it until he made it all the way back to the ship. Peter realized it while he's out there on the waves. Peter's on the sea and he realizes Jesus is who he said he is, when he says, Lord, save me. But they didn't believe it until Jesus got to the ship. And then the waves ceased and the wind ceased. Jesus was on the ship with them. The wind ceased. He can calm the troubled waters of your soul this morning.
Thank God he can.
When Jesus does what Jesus does in your life, you'll step back and say, that's him. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. That's him. You ever had God just do something in your life that you knew nobody else could do? While it's going on, you wondered, is the Lord doing anything in the middle of this? But whenever he got done doing what he does, you said, it's him. It's him. When you stood at the bedside and you wept and you cried, you felt helpless. You wondered if God was doing anything. But in hindsight, you look back and you see the hand of God and you knew it was him. In the midst of the circumstance and the storm, you wondered if the Lord even knew you were there. But in hindsight, you look back and you say, it's him. It was him. You thought in the middle of the storm, he's going to drown, he's going to kill you. Life was overwhelming. You look back and you realize he was carrying you on the water. You thought you'd die, and then you realize you can't die. The resurrection and the life lives in you. You can't kill somebody Jesus lives in. I mean, friend, I can't die. I can't die for living. I can't lose for winning. Hallelujah. He can calm the troubled waters of your souls. I'm finishing preaching here. I have a whole other section we still got to deal with. But I'm going to stop right here. Jesus is in the midst of the storm. This morning, Christmas lawn furniture up all over the place. Lights are flashing and trees are shining. Gifts being bought and sold and given and received. And tidings of comfort and joy being sung. In the midst of many folk in the building here this morning, while it seems like others are in the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, for you it's a storm. For you it seems like the waves are crashing all around. For you it seems that you're alone and the Lord's a million miles away. Some of you have said amen to everything that I've preached because you know it's true, but yet in your heart the wind is still blowing and contrary. Not only do you need to know it's so, you need to experience it. You need the Lord to stop the wind from blowing in your life. If He can't calm the storm, you need Him to calm you. You need help from the Lord. There's people this morning in the building that's never been saved. You need the Lord's help in your life that you may step back and say of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. There's families struggling financially, physically, spiritually. Your relationships. I'd be telling you fibs this morning if I was to tell you I had no burdens on my heart. I'd be telling fibs. We don't go a day without burdens on our hearts. Seems like there are days that the burdens just rise up overwhelmingly. There are days that I just stop. I stopped yesterday. I was running a chainsaw. I just stopped and put my chainsaw down and just stood in the woods by myself and cried. Just overwhelmed. My heart heavy. Chances are nobody really even knows what's bothering me. I try to be nice, not even tell nobody. The Lord knows. The Lord knows what we need. Sometimes it's not everybody's storm. Sometimes it's yours. A lot of people don't know how to even understand that. You don't have to tell everybody what's wrong with you all the time. Matter of fact, they'll probably think you're a nut if you do.
Amen.
I've got enough people think I'm crazy without me telling them all what's wrong with me. Y'all might, instead of coming to hear me preach, you might run before I preach. Trouble. Jesus is there. Everybody needs to pray this morning. These altars are open if you need to seek the Lord. Sister Tanya's going to sing a song. Everybody stand if you need to come this morning. Saint and sinner alike, I've preached what the Lord's put on my heart. Tried to be obedient to the Lord. Be sensitive to God this morning, if you would please. Sing for us when you're ready.
When Simon Peter walked abreast, putting his faith unto the test, he said, Father,
you need to pray when you come.
Come unto thee. Jesus said, come. So Peter went, and when the faith he had was spent, Peter sank low, but Jesus had waves rolled. Under his feet, there's not a problem that you'll face he cannot meet. Whenever you've waded out too far in waters too deep,
amen.
Remember when waves are remember wherever.
Let the Lord speak to your heart.
He's been there before. We should look up and praise the Lord. He walks the waters.
everybody for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate so much you being here. Love everybody.